the third chapter. And I'm not going to read all of it. We've been reading this, doing a study on the churches on Wednesday nights for a while. But this past week, this scripture just grabbed a hold of me. I talked a little bit about it Wednesday night, but we're going to carry on just a little while with it this morning. We're going to start at verse 4. Sardis was a church that was dead. They had a name that was living, but they were dead. They had no future. Everybody thought that they were alive and well, but the church was dead. Jesus checked their pulse. And even though their worship looked alive, even though their programs looked alive, even though everything looked great, God said, "You're dead." And then he makes a statement. He says, "Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Genesis 5 and 21 says, "And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah for 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him." Lord, I ask you right now that your Spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would reach down right now, oh God, that you would speak in this house today. Lord God, that you would challenge us from where we are, oh God, to take another step into you. Lord, that we would not be satisfied with where we are, but there would be a hunger. That something inside of us would stir today, oh God, that we would leave this place with a desire to walk with you like never before. Lord, we thank you right now. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. You may be seated this morning. This past Tuesday, I believe it was, me and Brother Schinkel were coming back from Lafayette. And to get over to Lafayette, I'd go up and go around 190, and it took a long time to get over there. Everything was shut down. I-10 was shut down at 165 all the way across. And so when we came out, and we were going to just go the same route, but 49 headed up to Opelousas was packed, so we were going to take a shortcut and cut through and try to get up to Opelousas another way. And we got to looking at Google Maps, and Google Maps said that we could drive down I-10 and cut around Crowley. So we figured Google Maps has got to be right, right? Siri's never steered me wrong before. And so we decided we would take off down I-10, and we got to Crowley, and sure enough, they turned us around and sent us back to I-49 after we wasted a good 20 minutes of our lives headed down to Crowley. So we get to Rain, we stop at the Dairy Queen, and I got me a burger, and we're getting back in the truck, and there was a fella sitting there, and he told us, he said, there's a shortcut from here up to Eunice that you can follow us. And he said, all the roads are blocked. He said, he says, I'm in that little Toyota Celica out front. He said, I just came through all those roads. He said, it's not the Corolla. He said, we just passed through it. The water's not that bad at all. It's no big deal. Just follow us. And I should have known. He had huge holes in his ears, and he had his earphones hooked into both of them, and after we followed him, we pretty much decided it was a drug deal that he drove all the way to Rain for, so we're following this fella, all right? He's our leader, and we're following him down all these back roads back towards Eunice from Rain, and all of a sudden we realized that maybe we've made a bad decision. maybe we should have followed somebody that knew what they were talking about. Maybe that man standing next to the police car with the lights flashing and the nice big hat that said, go back to 49, take your time, just buckle up and enjoy the ride because it's going to be a doozy, and just go back that way. But no, we had to find a shortcut. We had to find somebody that was going to get us home quicker because we didn't want to be on the road. And so we were one of those people. And we come up to this place where the waters come over the road. And I can understand the guy trying it the first time. I mean, but a second time was beyond me. And me and Brother Daniel are sitting there, and we're just looking at all that water running over the road. And there are big doolies pulling up to it. And they're scratching their head thinking twice about it. And so we're about to find out if the Yoda floats or not, because we're about to see what's going to happen and see if the Toyota can make it. And the little Corolla, he took off across there. And we're like, he's going to make it. Water's coming up the sides of the doors, and sure enough, he made it all the way across. So here we go, taking off after behind him. And I made up my mind, the next time they tell me to go around, I'm going around from here on out. I'm going to make sure I'm not who I need to be following and what I'm following. You know, we need to be careful who we follow, because you never know where they're going. You never know that, well, it's a shortcut. Well, this is easier. This is another way. We've got to stay tried and true to what it is that we're supposed to be holding the course for. And the only way that we can do that is by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. We've got to follow after Jesus Christ. There's something about it that we've got to understand that we cannot do this all by ourselves, and we can't just make this journey all alone, that we've got to have God on board with what's happening in our lives. It's 1 Peter 2:21 that he makes the statement that we should follow his steps, that there's something about it inside of us that we should follow after him, that I can't find a new way or a new place or a new way to do things, that I've got to make sure that everything that I do aligns with the Word of God, and that I'm following after the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It was John the Baptist that came out, and he came and he made the statement. He said, repent. He said, you've got to repent, as he came out of as he made his way out of the wilderness. It was Jesus Christ that when he came out of the wilderness, the sermon that he preached was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When you look up that word repent in the Greek, that word literally means to think differently. That if I'm going to repent, I have to change my mindset. I have to change my mind. I have to think differently. That it's not just a trip to the altar and God, I'm sorry, but there's got to be a change in my mind. There's got to be a change in my thoughts. There's got to be a change in my lifestyle. There's got to be a change of thinking differently. It's Mark 11:22 that says, have faith in God. If you study it out, it literally means have the faith of God. How am I supposed to have the faith of God if I don't have a relationship with God? How am I supposed to have the faith to move mountains if I don't have a relationship with the one that moves them? How am I supposed to believe in miracles, signs, and wonders if I don't know the one that does the miracle, signs, and wonders? There's got to be a place that we begin to make up our mind that I'm not just satisfied with hearing about it. I've got to know him. I've got a love-hate relationship with that song that I am the friend of God. Oh, I am the friend of God. He calls me friend. Does he really call us friend? Does he really call you friend? Does he really know who you are? Is there anything about you that has gotten into his presence this week and said, God, I want to know you. I want to be close to you. I want your spirit to move and flow in my life. I want you to change me. I want you to give me a new revelation of who you are. I want to be more like you. I want your world, your spirit to move and flow in my life. So many of us, we're an acquaintance. We know him. Pass by, wave as we go. I've got neighbors. I have a neighbor I have not yet to meet. It's not from trying. He pulls up. The car stops. He jumps out. The garage door comes open. He runs inside, and the garage door closes. And that's all you ever see. And that's all there is. But if we pass each other, we both kind of wave as we go by. And that's about the extent of it. That's about the extent of our relationship. And we're just an acquaintance. People that you know something about them. You know things that go on in their lives. You know that what grade their children are in. You know the things that are happening. You might know them from across the church and where they live, but you don't really know them. You might be a friend with them, a friend that is somebody that knows somebody, that you're close. You talk periodically. You every now and again, it seems like when you do get together, it's like it's back to the way it used. Does anybody have a friend like that that you might not talk to them for 3 months, but all of a sudden you call them and it's right back like it used to be. It's right back like you're friends again. But there's something about he's not coming back for an acquaintance and he's not coming back for a friend. He's coming back for a bride. He's coming back for something that is more intimate than just a wave as you drive by the church, or something that is more than just getting together every 6 months and talking about things of old. He's looking for somebody that's saying, God, I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to get close to you. He says he's coming back for a bride, but if you don't feel like a bride, then you might want to work on your relationship with Jesus. You look at this church that he says there are a few names that have not defiled their garments and they shall walk with me in white. He's talking about walking. He's talking about a relationship. He's talking about traveling together. He's talking about growing together. He's talking about going from one place to the next. But if you're going to walk with him in robes of white, first you must walk with him. I can't expect to walk with him over there if I do not walk with him over here. I can't expect for him to allow me to walk on streets of gold if I do not walk with him while I'm here on this earth. How did they stand in the midst of all of the perversion and all the junk that was going on in Sardis? It's because they already walked with him. Preacher, you don't understand how bad it is right now. Pastor, you don't understand the world's a mess and everybody's doing something different and sliding back and it's just not the way that it used to be. These people lived in a world of perversion that was worse than where we live right now. These people dealt with mess that was in your face, public. It was there. It wasn't something private that you would go sneak off somewhere else. It was in your face. It was there constantly. It was one of the most perverted cities in the Bible. But the Word of God says that there were people that stood and walked with God. That there were people that stood in the midst of all of the junk and said, I'm not going to waver to the right or to the left, but I'm going to continue my walk with my Almighty God. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I don't care what everybody else is saying. I don't care how everybody else is living. I'm going to walk the walk that I know is right. I'm going to walk the walk that my Bible says that I'm supposed to walk. How did Daniel not defile himself when he was in Babylon? Why? Because the Bible says that he had a relationship with God. It was something that he took serious. It was something that when everybody else said, stop, Daniel would still go to his window every day and he would open it and he would pray to his God. He had a walk. That's why he didn't fall. He had a walk. That's why he didn't stumble. He had a walk. That's why he didn't defile himself. He had a walk. That's why he was used in the gifts. He had a walk. That's why he was elevated from where he was. It didn't matter how many kings he went through. One king out, another king in. And Daniel was elevated. Why? It was because of his walk. It was because of his relationship with God. It was because of what he had with his God. There's something about it that we've got to understand. You look at Abraham. Abraham is called a friend of God. How awesome would that be to know that you are a friend of God? Not just to sing about it and get excited about it, but to be able to walk into a prayer room when there's no music and nobody else around and step into His presence. That I don't have to wade through all of the junk for 45 minutes and it's not even worth it, it feels like, but live in a place that He is close. Live in a place that we can move in and out of His Spirit, that you can just stop everything that you're doing. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, I want to be your friend. I want to be closer. I want to grow in you. I want to be closer to you than I am right now. He did that because in Genesis 19 and 27 it says, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before God. A place, a designated place, that every morning he came and said, God, here I am. Here I am, Jesus. I want to be in your presence. I want to talk to you. I want to know you. I gave up my life. I left my family. I left everything that I knew. Hey, the situations might change. He might move. He might be in a different area. But everywhere he went, there was a place that he would go and that he would stand before God. That I want a relationship with you. I want to know you. I want to be close to you. So many people, we call ourselves Christians, but do we really have a relationship with Christ? We call ourselves Christians, but do we really know who He is? If He came and talked to us, if He stepped into our world, if He tried to speak to us, would we even know if He was there? Oh, we can come to church, we can look it up right, we can make it right, but do we really know Him? The scripture talks in Genesis about Enoch and that he walked with God. He didn't walk with God for 6 months, 6 minutes, 6 years. He walked with God for 300 years. I wonder how many disappointments he had. I wonder how many low moments he had. I wonder how many bad doctor's visits he had. I wonder how many children that disappointed him. I wonder how many situations that happened over the course of 300 years. But the scripture says he walked with God. It mentions it twice in the same three scriptures, and he walked with God. You begin to look at all of the men that it describes and talks about. And Jared begot Enoch, and Enoch begot Methuselah, and so on and so on. On every one of them, it begins to talk about how that they lived. But when it talks about Enoch, it says that he walked with God. Methuselah lived. Jared lived. Enoch walked with God. There's something about it that we've got to understand, that it's not just something that we show up on a Sunday morning to do. It's got to be a walk. It's got to be something about us that it affects our lives. It affects who we are. It affects the way that we live. It begins to change our mindsets. What did Jesus say? He said, metatoio, which means repent, as he cried from the wilderness, which means I've got to change my mindset that it's not just something I do on a Sunday morning for 2 hours. It's something that I live every day of my life. It's not just something I try to encounter for a moment in time in a worship service. And if the preacher does a good enough job, then I might respond. But it's something on a Monday morning. Jesus, I want to get to my place. Jesus, I want to be close to you. Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, I don't feel like I'm where I need to be. Jesus, I don't feel like my life adds up to where it is. Jesus, I don't feel much like a bridegroom today. I've got to change some things. I got to be different. What is it that you like? What is it that you desire? What is it that you want me to look like? What is it that you want me to smell? God, I'm here to please you. You're the one. Oh my God. When Esther went in before the king, she didn't wear what she wanted to wear and smell like she wanted to smell, and she went and found out what the king liked. Read about it. She went and found out what the king wanted. She went and found somebody that knew the king and was close to the king. She began to talk to them. Everybody else, they got to keep all of their stuff. Man, they put the big rings on and they'd get the big dresses. I'm going to get to take this home. She wasn't interested in going home. She was interested in the king. When she walked in there, she didn't walk in there in her favorite color and her favorite design of clothing. She didn't walk in there with what she walked in there with what she knew the king liked. How do I know what the king likes? Get in his presence and ask him. Well, I don't feel about that. Why don't you get in his presence and ask him? When was the last time you said, oh, well, that's not how I feel about it? I'm not worried about how you feel about it. I'm worried about how he feels about it. I'm worried about if you've asked him how he feels about it. I feel all kinds of ways, and if I follow after my feelings, I will be lost in a devil's hell. But if I make up my mind, God, how do you feel about it? What do you want? What do you want me to change? How do you want me to be different, Jesus? The scripture says that angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Me and Brother Donnie were talking about Brother Ronnie Lacombe a couple days ago. And we're talking about his story and how that he fell. Most of you have heard the story. He fell out of the tree. He was hunting, had a heart attack, fell out of a tree, hit the ground. When he hit the ground, it started his heart again. But by the time they got into the hospital, he was in a coma. He was dying, and everything was wrong. They didn't think he was going to make it. And so everybody was coming by to pray for Brother Lacombe. Everybody was coming in and praying. Everybody was coming by, and they were praying and asking God to touch them. And then Brother Lacombe tells the story, and I hope I can tell it right. But visiting hours were over. ICU was closed. Everything was shut down. It was locked. And there's a certain point. They got to get everybody out. And the doctor's making his rounds, and a man walks in. And the doctor tells him, he says, how'd you get back here? He says, I just came to pray for my friend. He said, visiting hours are over. And he said, yeah, do you mind if I just quickly pray for my friend and then I'm going to leave? And so the doctor stepped back and the man reached over, stepped down, and he began to pray for Brother Lacombe. And as he prayed for Brother Lacombe, he stopped and turned around and told the doctor, thank you. And he walked out of the room, and the doctor turned around to look at Brother Lacombe, and all of a sudden all of the vital signs and everything began to change all over the board. Things began to happen, and all of a sudden everything began to change, and he turned and he ran out, and he was looking for this man, and he looked at the nurse and he said, where did he go? Where was that man? Where did the man go that just left this room? She said, nobody's come out of that room. You're the only one that's gone in, and you're the only one that's come out. There's nobody else that has come into this room. You're the only one. He said, I don't know where the man went, but get in here. We have a live one. We've got to get with him. Everything changed from that moment in time. The scripture that we read in Psalms says that the angels of the Lord encamp around about us. You are a peculiar people. Do you know what that word peculiar means? Not weird. It means that you are obtained and protected. God looked at Abraham, it looked at Satan and said, have you contemplated my servant Job? And he said, he fears the Lord. What did Psalm say about somebody that fears the Lord? That an angel makes camp. He lives. He's there. He's in the presence of. He fears you, and I cannot touch him. There's something that surrounds him. There's something that protects him. There's something that keeps him. There's something that watches over him, and I cannot touch him. I believe that everybody in this room, you've got an angel that goes with you. You talk about it as a child, oh, a guardian angel. Okay, yeah, well, the Bible says if you fear the Lord and you follow after him and you're trying to remain upright in his presence, there are an angel that walks with you, that he encamps around about you. Amen? But there's one thing you've got to understand is that angels, they're holy creatures. Just because they've been assigned to you doesn't mean they like you. There are things that we do in our lives that they don't want anything to be a part of. Every morning the scripture talks about with Jacob as he saw a stair as they go to and from to the presence of God. I can't go from all of this perversion and junk into the presence of God. There are things they don't want to be around. There's things that literally vex them. They don't want to be anywhere around that mess. They know what sin is. They don't want it to be a part of their lives. They don't want it to be anywhere around that mess. You think you can sit there and watch what you want and you think the presence of an almighty God and his being is going to set there and say, oh, well, let's check this out. Let's watch this. This looks good. You think you can open your computer and look at whatever you want, and that angel is going to stand there and say, well, no, there's something about it that I don't want to be anywhere around. I'm going back to the presence of God. He sent me to be around you, but I don't know. There's not a ton of Bible about angels. Anytime there's an angel mentioned in the Bible, he's lifting up God or he's doing the bidding of God. I don't know what happened with Brother Lacombe, but I do know that an ancestral being walked in and said, do you mind if I pray with my friend? He doesn't know me, but we've walked a lot of paths together. He doesn't know where he's at right now, but we've been in the presence of an almighty God together so many times. We have walked this walk. We have fought devils together. We have been through valleys and we have sat on mountaintops. And if you don't mind for one moment in time, if I could pray with my friend. Oh, that I can live in such a way that I can be in his presence, that I can know him, that I can walk with him, that my life can please his life, that my life can draw him closer to me. Last night, me and Brother Donnie were sitting in the office and we were talking about it and man, we were getting excited and I told him, I said, my dad used to make statements when I was younger that if there was no heaven and there was no hell, I would still live this way. And I would shake my head and think, that is crazy. If there was no heaven and there was no hell, there are a lot of things I would change about my life. A couple weeks ago, I hadn't thought about that statement in years, and a couple weeks ago, I heard somebody make that statement, if there was no heaven and there was no hell, oh, I would change the way I lived and I would do something completely different. And yesterday, me and Brother Donnie were sitting in that office and tears began to run down my face. I said, there's something that I've cultivated in my life that I don't want to lose. There's something that I've got a hold of that I like more than if there was a heaven or if there was a hell. I've got a relationship with Jesus that I've worked hard to get where I am. And I don't care if there is a heaven or hell. I want him. I want to be close to him. I want my life to please him. I don't want to do some things, not because they're not fun, but because it's not pleasing to my Jesus. And as we sit there and talk, the power of God fell in that office. We wept and we cried and we sobbed, and the presence of God entered into that moment in time, and everything else stopped because there was a hunger that said, God, I want to know you. I want to get close to you. I'm not satisfied with where I am, but I want more of you. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, as my wife comes, Lord God, you see every person in this room. These are good people and they're here today, God, because there's something inside of them that longs for more of you. There's something inside of each and every one of us that we were created in such a way that there's a void that's got to be filled. And even though we try and even though we work at it, even there's still something inside that says, God, I want to know you more than I know you. I want to be close to you more than I am. I want to love you more than I love you. I want to be more like you. I'm not satisfied with where I am or what I'm doing, but God, I want more of you. Oh, Jesus. The scripture says that Enoch had a testimony. That had a testimony that was so great in Hebrews 11 and 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. A testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't know what happened on that day of Enoch's 365 years on this earth. But there come a time in his walk with God that God looked down and said, Enoch, you're a little bit closer to my home than you are to yours. Why don't you just come on and stay? You're a little bit closer to me than... Why don't you just come on and stay? I know there's not many of us that we're ready to go on today, but is there anybody in this place that would like to say, God, I just want to stay with you for a little while today? God, I want to get up tomorrow morning and I want to find a place and I want to stay with you. I got a family I still want to raise. I've got children that I want to see pray back through. I've got things, but God, I want to stay with you. I want to find that place, that secret place, that place where I can be in your presence. As we all stand this morning, there's an old song that says that he walks with me. Talks with me and he tells me I'm his own, and the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other. What are you saying? Nobody's ever experienced that? No, I'm saying it's your experience with him. It's not somebody else's experience. It's your experience. It's not somebody else's thing. It's your thing. Lord, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord God, that there would be something inside of each and every one of us, that there would begin to be a hunger that would begin to grow. Lord God, that something inside of us would say, God, I want to know you. I want to be more like you. I want your spirit to move and flow in my life. God, I don't know you the way that I want to know you. God, I want to be more like you. God, I can't live wrong and pray right. But if I can pray right, then I can't live wrong. I can't live wrong and pray right, but if I can learn to pray right, I can't live wrong if I can just get into your presence. God, change me. God, mold me. God, make me. These altars are open this morning. Is there anybody in this place that would like to come to an altar and say, God, I want to be closer to you today, God, than I've ever been. Lord God, I want to start something new in my life. God, Lord, I've been satisfied with my relationship with you. But God, you're not coming back for just a friend. You're coming back for a bride. God, I've got to get close to you. I've got to get closer to you, Jesus, Lord, that your spirit would move and flow in my life.
I thought that number one would surely
God, that you would create a burden inside of each and every one of us.
I thought I could be all I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's seeking sand. Oh, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
God, I want to walk with you today, Jesus.
No, I can't even walk without you holding. Without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh, and I thought that number one would surely be me. I thought I could be all I want.
Jesus, God, that we would know you more than what we know you today, God. Lord, that there would be something inside of each and every one of us that tomorrow we would get up and say, God, I know that it's Monday and yesterday I was in your presence, but today, God, I want to find that place one more time. If all you've got is your drive to work, if all you've got 15 minutes, if all you've got 20, if all whatever it is, God, got to find that place.
Praise God.
Oh, and when you fall in love with 15 minutes, there's something about 30 minutes that just seems appealing. All of a sudden, oh, I'll never want to pray for 30 minutes. When you get to know him, 30 minutes isn't enough. When you get to know him, you know, I wish I had more time. I can't believe I got to go to work. But I want to know you.
Yes.
I want to know you. I want to fall in love with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I don't know exactly what happened in Brother Ronnie Lacombe's hospital room that day. I know what I believe. I know that we can live in such a way that even the angels are attracted to us. I wonder what they talk about when they're going to and from getting their marching orders. With Job, they met early in the morning and they talked. With Jacob, they went up and down the stairs, back and forth to heaven, the ladder. I wonder what they talk about. What'd you do today? I couldn't even be in the same room with them. I know that Jesus loves them, but I don't know why he keeps having patience for them. What'd you do today? I've already been in his presence today.
Praise God.
What do you mean? I only get to go when we... No. You mean you've got a friend?
that stops everything and says, hey, God, I want to be in your presence. No, this isn't the only time that I get to go before God. I've already been once today.
Praise
God. I get to go again. Oh, I'm jealous of you. I wish they'd assigned me someone like that. I've got to listen and watch and see and hear jokes and see things, and I long to just get back up there and cry, holy, holy, holy. You're telling me that you get to be in an atmosphere that's welcome and condoned? You're talking crazy talk. No, I'm just, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say what happens, but
crazy.
Do you mind if I pray with this man that I fought many devils with? I've walked many roads with. I've entered into the Holy of Holies on multiple, many occasions with. Next Saturday, we're going to be taking a group of men to Baton Rouge. I'm not quite sure which church we're going to go to yet. We're going to try to find the church that has the least amount of help. And there are some churches that they've gotten lots of help. People are a groundswell of help that's coming to them. We want to find a church that doesn't have a lot of help. It might be a home missions church. It might be a smaller church. There are several smaller churches that have been hit and devastated. We're not quite sure where we're going to go, but if you would like to go next Saturday, we're going to pile up in the van, we're going to pile up in trucks, we're going to find out if they need supplies, find out if they need drywall. I know they're having a lot of trouble, they're having to ship everything in, and we're going to go over there Saturday, and I don't know if we're just going to gut a church, if we're just going to take supplies, but whatever we can do, we're going to go over there Saturday and try to help somebody and be a servant, amen? So if you would like to be a part of that, please get with me after church, please talk to me. And I want to thank everybody for all your work that you did at Sister Franklin's house yesterday. You are a great, great blessing. But if you would like to go next Saturday, we're going to go down. If you've got any kind of skills, please, please come. We're going to go down there. Also, the next weekend, there's a church in a day. And if you would like to give to help donate to all the stuff that we're going to purchase, if you want to write a check and put it on the altar, they're going to be giving it up. If you want to go online and just mark it, and give towards that. But everything that we get is going to be going towards everything that's going on in Baton Rouge. None of it will stay here in the church or Lafayette. And so thank y'all so very much. I love y'all. Who wants to know Jesus more? I want to go there. I don't want it to be something where it's like, oh, you got to do this. Oh, you're going to help. No, God, I want to go there. That's a place that sounds beautiful. It's a place that's appeasing to my spirit and my soul. I want to go there. It's obtainable. If Moses can meet with God face to face like a man meeteth with a friend, then I can do that also. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. You have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. Tomorrow is Sister Krill's 80th birthday. Not 40? 40th birthday. I'm sorry. I was way off. 40th birthday. And so, I'm sorry. So life has been rough. We love Sister Krill so much. And we're so honored that she's a part of our church family. And Sister Krill, we love you so, so very much. Hallelujah. It's good to have all of her family with us this morning. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. We'll see you Wednesday night. We're going to be having a great time around here. Tuesday morning, women's prayer, men's prayer. And we'll see you later. Lord bless you. Love you. Bye-bye.